Hello, I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here this morning for the Congregation at Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It is Monday, May 13th, 2024. Our catechesis today, we'll go back to some Ascension readings. We're still in that in-between time between the Ascension of our Lord and Pentecost, so we'll catch a couple Ascension texts, or potentially related to the Ascension, and then we'll dig into some catechesis on Pentecost to get us ready for this coming Sunday. All right? So it's a heavy doctrinal time. Hopefully you appreciated that yesterday in the sermon, that we get to dig in a little bit into what the Scripture gives us to confess about the work of the Holy Spirit for us. A little bit different sermon. Hopefully that was helpful for you. The Spirit of comfort and of truth and of witness. Comfort, truth, and witness. All right? So keep that in mind as you think of how God the Holy Spirit works for your benefit. All right, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our psalm this week is our psalm from yesterday, Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, famous Psalm of David, prayed after the death of his son, his sin, transgression with Bathsheba, right? The son conceived through that adultery, taken by the Lord. Right, and he confessed before Nathan with the psalm. So it's our confession too. Okay, our verse for the week, try to commit this to memory if you can. You can use your, what color was it yesterday? Blue sheet, I think. You can use the blue sheet for that purpose to repeat it throughout the day. Say it with me now. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. Right? It would not be grace that would save you if it was of yourselves or if it was of works that is coming from yourselves. It must be a gift of God to be by grace. Right? That's what grace means, is according to the gifting nature of God, the generous nature of God, the benevolent nature of God. All right. So grace and gift go together. My mother and my daughter, Dorothy, which means gift of God, go together. Well, actually, and my mother's mother, right? Oh, yesterday, Mother's Day. Look at that. So my grandmother was Dorothy, gift of God, and then by grace, right? So beautiful connections, right? But not of works. And if it were of you, then you could boast of it of yourselves, and then it would no longer be of God. All right. Catechism, this week, workers of all kinds, right? By the way, slaves and masters in the New Testament, Old Testament too, refers to the kind of agreement, usually refers to the kind of agreement that one has for employment, all right, as we would call it today. So, you know, contract labor. So you've signed a contract that may be to pay off a debt, right? That's we usually used to call indentured servitude. But you could call it a master-slave relationship. But generally, this is the language of master and slave in the New Testament refers to that of an employer and employee who've committed to work. One's committed to hire and the other's committed to work, right? So you would call, like if you worked in a vineyard, you were the slave and they were the master, for example, all right? Now, of course, there is the other chattel slavery, as we call it here, where it is not voluntary, but rather involuntary. That's a different sort of thing. All right, so let's confess it. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8. All right. So much like wives submitting to their husband as to Christ, or husbands serving their wives as Christ for his church, so here with workers, to serve their master as if the master is Christ himself, right? It's as if, or like slaves of Christ. Our first reading today is from Daniel chapter 7. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from it, from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched then because the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. All right. Beautiful vision given to Daniel early in the visionary chapters of Daniel, chapter 7, of what will be even further expanded by both Jesus and then Christ's own apostle John in his apocalypse, right, where we have the 144,000, the whole host of heaven numbered and gathered before him and worshiping him. And of course, the distinction of the Father and the Son already seen here by Daniel as the Ancient of Days and the one like the Son of Man who came from the Ancient of Days, proceeds from the Father, right? And of course, the one like the Son of Man who will reign forever, Christ Jesus. You might even say all authority has been given to him to reign and rule. And we'll talk about that with our reading for catechesis, which is not a long reading, Matthew chapter 28. I'll scroll up so it's top of the screen there. There we go. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Okay, so who went to Galilee? We have the 11 disciples. Key is 11. This is important for the institution of the office of the Holy Ministry, which we heard at the conclusion of the sermon yesterday, is that so that you would receive comfort, truth, and witness God has appointed for you, preachers and teachers, right? Also known as pastors. So here we have that as well. Jesus sent these 11 men apart, or set them apart to be preachers of the gospel. Although they were sinful and doubted, and all the women were the first witnesses of the resurrection, Jesus appointed these men as his preachers. Right, so we also could have the conversation about why the ordination of the pastor is in public office of preaching and teaching is given to men and not to women. But that would require us to have a long conversation about the role of male and female, which we have been having actually from the table of duties, and how it applies to the household of faith, that is the church, which is, again, by the apostles is called a household of faith. Hence, the head of the household must be male, right? The male headship is not a popular teaching, I suppose, these days. especially for pastors. But what you'll find is that if it's not exclusively given to men, it will be given to women. If it's not exclusively given to women, it will be given to all sorts of other things, calling themselves different genders, as if there is such a thing. I guess grammatically there might be, but not biologically. So that's a slippery slope argument. You might not go for that. But here, the reason why we have men as pastors is because both Jesus ordained it, but also it's given for our good, that we as husbands would also then mimic that same preaching office in our own homes, teaching our own children. And actually, it was given to the household first, and the church, being the household of faith, is a collection of households, really subsidiary to the household, at least on earth. Okay, so yes, he appointed them very, very specifically, not the women who had the privilege of being the first eyewitnesses, right? It doesn't mean, I guess we're getting into it. It doesn't mean lesser or greater in terms of salvation. There is no distinction, male or female, Jew or Gentile, right? Slave or free, when it comes to our baptism and salvation in Christ. Here, we're talking about the ministry on earth. And of course, ultimately, the church itself, at least the public ministry of the church, will cease with the resurrection when we will all hear and see Christ face to face. All right. So it's only for a time anyway. All right. Why did they go to Galilee? Why did they go away to Galilee? For this, you have to remember back, quite a while ago, we actually studied this, probably in the resurrection appearances, so weeks ago. Actually, we read it during Holy Week. Oh, yes. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Right? And Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, I will not be made to stumble." All right. An odd thing is revealed here, verse 17, that even though they all worshipped him, some still doubted. Right? Of course, you can think of Thomas, but there's others too. All right. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All right, what authority are we talking about here? Certainly he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that's a little too broad and abstract, and he's certainly not going to give to his disciples turned apostles that authority that belongs to him alone, right? Here you want to go back to Matthew 9, right? So we typically like to interpret scripture from scripture, so here Matthew 9 would be great, the same book. This is with the paralytic. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Right. So, unfortunately, one of the flaws of New King James Version, which I like to use mostly, is that it does not consistently translate the word here for authority. Sometimes it translates it as power, other times as authority. So anytime you see power or authority, consider that maybe authority is a better translation, or power. I would suggest you always translate it as authority, but you would have to know the Greek for that. So if you see the word power, use a Greek interlinear, or find it online and see if it's exousian, which is what it is here, which means to have authority. All right, so the authority he's talking about that's been given to him in heaven and on earth, what is forgiven before God is forgiven on earth, is the authority to forgive sins. All right, what were the disciples to make? "Go, therefore, in the authority that I have, I'm giving to you," right, "and make disciples of all nations." How? "By baptizing and teaching." Of course, a disciple, we should define, it's a basic definition of disciple, someone who follows, right? A believer, or I like the technical term here, a catechumen of Jesus, right? One who receives catechesis, teaching. Who were to be made disciples? Is there any limiting factor on this? No. Verse 19, it is for panta ethne, all nations. That term is inclusive or exclusive? Inclusive or exclusive? Of course, it's inclusive, all nations. All ages, all colors, all nationalities, right? No one is excluded from baptizing and teaching. Infants? Yes, infants as well. All right. Talked about that in Bible class yesterday. You can go listen on the podcast platforms or watch on the YouTube, right? The Bible class. What does baptize mean? Okay, quite literally, it means to wash with water. But what distinguishes this washing with water from all other washings with water? The name, right? The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, note who is commanded to baptize and to teach. It's being given to the disciples. All right. So sometimes you may have seen this, I would suggest, misappropriated and be given to all believers are given to baptize and to teach. We generally allowed for emergency baptism. Of course, you might ask what that is. And we certainly allow, and we certainly encourage even all parents and Sunday school teachers and others to teach the faith, all that Jesus has commanded, right? But here, we do have at its head, if you like, the, well, Christ Jesus, of course, is the head of the church, but serving under the head then is the office of the holy ministry and the 11 who hold, right? All right. Now, when it says to observe all things, we've talked about this word before, observe, sometimes some of your translations might say obey all things. Obey and observe are both fine. The word is tereo, which means to hold fast to. So I always like to point out the icon over at church in the window in the balcony, the one of an anchor with a rope, right? It's to hold fast to, like an anchor to a boat, right? So that wherever it goes. So we're to hold on to the teachings of Jesus, not simply to understand or to do, but to hold fast to them, and then to catechize all nations with those same teachings. As we discussed this morning, that also means not excluding some in favor of others. So even the less popular teachings are the less acceptable to our modern enlightened ears. Those too must be confessed, right? All things. For all people. Jesus is all things for all people, right? His word is sufficient, right? So we don't hold back on teachings just because we think it might be unpopular, for example, because everything he gives is for our good. All right, so on the basis of this text, how is Jesus then with his church and his ministers until the end of the age? Now we have the context, right? I will be with you always, not in some kind of abstract sense, but in a very concrete and real way. Through the baptizing and the teaching, through the disciple making by baptizing and teaching, right? He's promised to be with us. That is, and also with the authority, the preaching of forgiveness of sins, right? The end of the age, of course, is referring to when he comes again in judgment. So it is appropriate to hear this during Ascension Tide, okay? All right. So to summarize, in this text, Jesus instituted the preaching office for the church. He sets aside males as the holders of this office, and they are to proclaim all the words he preached to them. Through baptizing and catechizing people of every nation, they make disciples, that is, believers in Jesus. Jesus gives to this office of the holy ministry the authority to forgive sins. This authority was his to bestow because he was the one who died and rose again for the salvation of all men. Through the office of preaching, Christ wants this forgiveness of sins to be proclaimed freely to all nations. Through the office of preaching the gospel, Christ continues to be present with his church on earth. All right. Our hymn for this week is Christ is the World's Redeemer, and appointed stanza 1 and 2 for us to learn. All right? Christ is the world's Redeemer, the lover of the pure, the font of heavenly wisdom, our trust and hope secure. The armor of his soldiers, the Lord of earth and sky, our help while we are living, our life when we shall die. Christ has our host surrounded with clouds of mercy. Another lovely hymn from St. Columba, one of the 12 Irish saints of the 6th century. Huh? Apostles to the Irish, they're called. With a lovely Irish tune. Okay, let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, your Son became a slave for us to redeem us from all sin. He worked for our salvation, though we did not deserve it, and he submitted to your will with all his heart. Forgive us all dishonor and disrespect toward our earthly masters, and grant us the grace of your Son that we might serve in our life's work with faithfulness toward you and in love and obedience for those we are called to serve. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray this day for faith to live in the promises of holy baptism, for vocations and daily work, for the unemployed, for the salvation and well-being of our neighbors, for our schools, our homeschools, our colleges and seminaries, and for good government and peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We pray in thanksgiving with Dennis and Bev, who celebrated their birthday yesterday, Annika and Crystal celebrating their birthday today. We also rejoice with Jennifer, Dale, and Timothy, all celebrating their baptism this day. Pray for the households of our church, especially that of Matt and Vicky, Wendell and Amy, Katrina, Dwayne and Pam, Dick and Milda, Dan and Liz. Pray for all our catechumens. Pray for all those who have requested our prayers due to illness, treatment, or recovering, especially Ralph, Allison, Maria, Joe, Angie, Dennis, Daniel, Brad and Billy Joe, Harriet, Ron, Carol, Mike, Doug, Ruth, Renata, Joan, Sandy, BJ, Karen, President Willie, and Phil. Pray for our homebound. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially this month for Lutherans for Life. Continue to pray for the strengthening of ethnic ministry in South Wisconsin District, including the efforts among the Hmong, Hispanic, and French African peoples. And we pray for the family and friends of Gary Gerhardt, who died in the Lord last week, and also for our infant care worker, Amber, whose father died this last weekend as well. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That's our congregation of prayer for today, Monday, May 13th, 2024. It's so good to have you with us all here. If you jump on a little bit late, that's okay. Remember that you always have the opportunity to scroll backwards so that you don't have to go back and watch the beginning at the end, but you can just scroll back and then play catch up, right? You can do that on YouTube and Facebook or somewhere where you drag and you drag. I don't know if you're using your phone or if you're tablet or whatever. All right. Let's see. Everything from yesterday is posted. So if you missed it, you can go and play catch up there and, hopefully receive God's word for your benefit. All right. You're welcome. Glad to have you live. Those of you watching live and those of you listening or watching later in the day, God be with you all. And we'll see you soon. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church Sermon Center in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.